Welcome to America Weekend, a new kind of radio, because life doesn't stop on the weekends. I am Paul Harris. Thank you for listening. This week, the television networks had their annual dog and pony show known as the Upfronts. This is where they show off the new shows that they've decided to put on for the fall to the advertising agencies. The idea being to tell them, look at how great our shows are. Won't you please buy commercial time on our network during these shows for this sitcom or that drama, this new show, this returning show, this reality show, whatever they all are. The ad agencies and the TV critics get to see these shows, and one of them is joining me here now. He's Eric Deggans, who is the TV critic for the Tampa Bay Times and the author of Race Baiter, How the Media Wields Dangerous Words to Divide a Nation. Eric, welcome to America Weekend.
Thanks for having me.
What did you see in the upfronts that made you say, ooh, that's something I'm going to watch?
Unfortunately, not a whole lot. I will say it's hard to tell. I mean, what they've done is they've shown us these sort of five-minute presentation reels. So it's hard to get a sense of a show just from watching sort of a five-minute trailer. But I think one of the most highly anticipated shows is a spinoff of the movie The Avengers. It's called Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and it takes the spy agency that was featured in the movie and builds a whole TV series around their adventures. Apparently, they're going to discover more minor superheroes and more minor sort of bizarre occurrences that they have to deal with as a spy agency. And it's going to feature this agent, Phil Coulson, that was a key figure in the movie. So I think a lot of people are looking forward to that because it was a very popular movie and it was well done. And there's a lot of people who are wondering if that sort of vibe can be carried over into television.
We're talking live action here?
We're talking live action. And CBS has an interesting show with Robin Williams. This will be Robin Williams' first TV series since he did Mork and Mindy back in the 70s.
Wow.
But he's doing a comedy called Crazy Ones, where he plays a guy who runs an ad agency with his daughter, who's played by Sarah Michelle Gellar from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So it'll be interesting to see these two TV stars sort of come back to television in an entirely new environment. We haven't really seen Sarah Michelle Gellar in a comedy, and we haven't seen Robin Williams in a TV comedy in 30 years. So I think a lot of people are looking forward to that, too.
And considering that his movie comedies have been kind of hit and miss through the years, it's interesting that he's going back to TV, and it'll be interesting to see if he can do this. Now, you mentioned that that was on CBS. They seem to be the network that has the most success now. They are number one, as I understand it, in primetime. Trouble in other day parts, but in primetime, they kind of rule the roost. Does that mean that they've got the most returning shows, and so their fall won't seem all that different to viewers?
They are the most stable network, but they're also the most old-fashioned network. And I think they're the network that is least affected by all the technology and changes that are disrupting the TV industry. You have Hulu and Netflix and Amazon On Demand. They're all offering original shows that people can watch whenever they choose to watch them. And in Netflix's case, they can watch them commercial-free. And so I think that's become a real challenge to the broadcast networks. And cable television has to put on less original shows. They offer many, many fewer hours of original programming. So, of course, their shows can be higher quality. They can take longer to make them, and they run in shorter bursts. They run from 13 to 15 episodes. So the networks are under pressure from all sides, both from cable and from online sources, and from the technology that's just disrupting things and making people want to be able to watch their network shows whenever, wherever they can, which, of course, means less money for the networks because they make the most money if you watch it on television. So we thought this fall would be when we'd see them really try to respond to this, and really they're just kind of making changes at the edges of what they do. I don't think it's going to be enough to really meet this new challenge that they face.
So it sounds like you're saying TV viewership for those big networks anyway will continue to drop as we find other entertainment where we want it, when we want it.
I think that's the certainty. And I also think it's tough for the networks to present shows that are tightly targeted and that are high quality enough to get viewers. One of the great advantages that cable can do, if you're AMC, you know what an AMC show is, and you can kind of focus on it. If you're Lifetime, you know what kind of show your audience wants, and you can focus on it. If you're ABC, for example, they've become sort of the middle-aged woman network with shows like Grey's Anatomy and Revenge doing really well for them. Now, they're a podcast network, they're a broad-based network, they need guys to watch what they're doing. And that's what they're trying to do now. That's why they have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming, and they have some other shows more male-oriented, because they really need men to watch their network in order to sell the kind of advertising that they really need to sell. So that's not a concern that Lifetime has to worry about. They don't necessarily care if men watch their network. it's a tough environment. I mean, to try and be all things to all people in an environment when that is increasingly not what consumers want is.
Yep. And we also know what kind of show goes on NBC, the show that's going to be canceled and isn't going to last very long, because they're very, very bad at picking primetime shows, which makes me wonder, why would advertisers continue to fall for this year in and year out?
Well, I gotta imagine the cost per minute for NBC is probably a lot lower than the cost per minute for CBS.
Yeah.
So that's one reason why, and those shows, even though they're failing shows, they draw. I'm sure a lot of the shows that they cancel draw a much higher viewership than some of the shows that we are familiar with on cable television. I mean, I love the show Justified on FX. It's a wonderful drama about a U.S. Marshal in the South. But that show drew an average of something like 3 million viewers. Over the last season, if it had aired with those kind of numbers on NBC, it's very likely it would have been canceled. So, you know, it's a different playing field. They need to draw more viewers, and they need to draw a wider base of viewers in order to have the kind of success that they're used to. Now, you cracked about NBC, but if you look at ABC, for example, they're the fourth place network. At the end of this TV season.
Oh.
They have 8 new shows debuting in the fall, which is an incredible amount of shows. It's going to be very hard for them to get people to watch every one of those shows, because when you know the more new shows you debut, the more money you have to spend promoting the show so that people actually watch them when they come on. CBS has much fewer. I think they have maybe 4 new shows debuting in the fall, so they can focus on them more. ABC has twice that number. They have 8 new shows. I think they have something like 17 new shows debuting overall. It's to replace that much on your schedule in 1 year is a guaranteed recipe for failure. So we're going to see a lot of failure on ABC too.
When you talked about people returning to television, NBC has a new show with Michael J. Fox. What's that about? And have you seen any of it?
I've seen a clip of it, and I've seen, I've read what they've distributed about it. Basically, Michael J. Fox plays an anchor for New York TV, a local New York TV station, who dropped out of his job because he developed Parkinson's disease, and then he stumbled on some new treatments and drugs, which allowed him to control the disease better, and so now he's trying to go back to work. And in fact, it's a storyline that kind of mirrors Michael J. Fox's own personal journey, where he got Parkinson's, he got symptoms really bad, he had to stop working, and he's had some treatments and medication and techniques that have allowed him to control it better. So we saw him at first do some guest shots. He was a really great character on The Good Wife on CBS, and now he has this comedy. Now, originally they were going to film it the way they do a lot of old school comedies, multi-camera, where they have a bunch of cameras and they do it live, which I think was his way of proving to the industry that he could control his problems to the point where he can perform live and not make mistakes. But eventually, if the clips that they've shown are any indication, it's not live action. It's a single camera sitcom where They film it like a movie. They film it in advance. And we'll see how that works.
It's going to be very interesting to watch. It'll be very interesting to watch a show that it makes fun of his Parkinson's disease as well. Eric Deggans is the TV critic from the Tampa Bay Times and the author of a terrific book called Race Baiter, How the Media Wields Dangerous Words to Divide a Nation. Thanks for joining me, Eric. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend every Saturday and Sunday from the Envision Radio Networks. America Weekend.